Turn back to that 87th Psalm. I want you to see something. If you go back to Psalm 83, which many of us like to sing, you'll find there are a lot of nations that are cursed. And what was to be the fruit of the curse? That they might know. Israel in Psalm 83 is just singing, God, do to them what you did to us, that you might bring us to yourself. In Psalm 87, we see the fruit of that curse. Philistia, Moab, it is said that this man was born there in Jerusalem. They are brought into the tent of Shem. We'll leave it there for now. Turn with me in your copy of God's Word, first of all, to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, a very familiar passage. I want you to think of how contrasting these words are to the ideas and thoughts of how culture is to be built, especially as you've listened, maybe some of you have, to the Republican convention this week. And think of the contrast of the words of Jesus to the words with which we often think. In the end of chapter 4, you find that Jesus is going through the cities and he's healing the peoples. And he goes out to pray. And the disciples came to him and said, hey, the people have more people for you to be baptized. And he said, let's go to these other cities that I may preach. For I came to preach. And so we come to chapter 5. This is what you might call a summary of his preaching. We're looking particularly at the Beatitude. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But let's look at the context of that. Beginning with verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he came up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Do you catch the difference? Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled or satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown down and trampled underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 24 and see if you can pick out why we read this psalm along with this passage. This psalm comes two psalms after the psalm of the crucifixion in Psalm 22. In Psalm 23, the Messiah says, "The Lord is my shepherd." In reflecting on the cross, that was not an accident. It was not something that happened out of plan. But he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he closed with these words, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You see the two there? They shall dwell in the house of the Lord. They shall see God. And then we come to Psalm 24. And he asks the question in this psalm. See if you pick up the question. "The earth is the Lord's and all that it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the hill of God? And who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord, the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This," or "such," I think is a better translation there, "such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O gates, lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. May God bless this reading of his word. Would you join me in prayer? Father, here we are, just pieces of dust on a small planet in a remote corner of the universe. And yet you, the creator of this great universe, have been mindful of us. And so, Father, be mindful of us this evening that we are but broken vessels, speaking to broken vessels. And so may your Spirit be the one who ministers to us, speaker and hearer, tonight. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Many years ago, when I was in seminary, that was in the last millennia, for those of you who wonder, I was taking a seminary course in evangelism. And we went out to North Hills where Mr. Carson was the pastor, and we went door to door calling. The director of the course was Ken Smith. And Ken Smith broke us up in groups of twos. And in his, I'm not sure whether it was mercy, kindness, or what it was, he let me be with him. And as we went out that first door, he said, "Paul, let me do the talking." And I didn't say a thing, but I thought, wow, that's great. And we went from door to door, and he would ask the question, "In your opinion, what's it mean to be a Christian?" And people gave many different answers. And one of the popular answers was to live by the Beatitudes. And Ken had responses to those. And I'd made note of these responses. And that's where I should stop the story. But I need to go on and tell you that One rainy night in October, we came up to this door and he said, "Oh, by the way, Paul, this is yours." And I quick flipped through all the responses that he had and asked the lady that came to the door, "In your opinion, what's it mean to be a Christian?" And she said, "Why, it means to trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone for salvation." I hadn't heard it. What do I say now? We went in and had a wonderful evening of fellowship. I don't remember the lady's name. I couldn't tell you the address, but I just know it was in North Hills. And she was old enough that maybe by this time she's gone on to see Christ face to face. But maybe you thought that, yes, to live by the Beatitudes. Let me live by the Beatitudes. But when you begin to think of those Beatitudes, what does it mean? Can you live by the Beatitudes? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who say, "I know nothing. I must receive everything by the revelation of God." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. I must say, I don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. But then when he comes to this one, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We're brought face to face with our need for Christ. We must remember that this does not just mean to be sincere. Many people have suggested that to be pure in heart means to be sincere in whatever you say or whatever you think or whatever you do. But there are many people who are very sincere in their commitment, and they did not attain to what they hoped. Moses was sincere, but he could not enter the land. He cried to the Lord to let him go in, but he could not go in. He was not pure in heart. And if there's anybody more sincere than Moses, I have no idea who that would be. There are many people who are sincere in what they believe. They will blow themselves up because of what they believe. But what an awful thought it must be when they stand before their Maker and find that their sincerity did not get them anywhere except the door of hell. What is it to be pure in heart? In Psalm 23, the psalmist said, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." If I must be pure in heart that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, how then can I dwell in the house of the Lord? We love that 23rd Psalm, but it is very hard for us. How will you dwell in the house of the Lord? If you put that together with this verse, have a pure heart. In Psalm 24, the Messiah, Savior, asks that question. Who will ascend into the hill of God? Or who may stand in the holy place? And the answer is the origin of our beatitude. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. But the psalmist doesn't stop there. He goes on, and in their typical Hebrew parallelism, he says it again another way. Notice how he says it. Who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. We sang that 50th Psalm. We sang A and B. We didn't sing C, but Psalm 50. Those opening words are so wonderful. And then he talks about he's calling those who by covenant, by oath, have made a covenant with him. And he said, I'm not going to ask you about your church attendance. You've been very regular at that. You brought the sacrifices. But if you go on into that 50th Psalm, he talks about those who were gossips. He speaks about those who were murderers and those who were in the church. And I violated the law of God. Those that by covenant have entered into a relationship with Him. And how many of us, how many of you have come to the worship of God, and that worship of God is the entering into covenant with Him, saying that what the Lord has said I will do and be obedient. And in Psalm 95, He gives this very warning. For those of you who hear the word of God, I remind you, it happened in the wilderness. And I said, they will not enter into my rest because they had not a pure heart. Who of us would dare to stand before God with our hearts, even having confessed the name of Christ and come to worship? Oh, you're especially holy because you've come for the second time today. And God ought to give you some special break because of that. And some of you have perfect attendance pins that maybe go back 80 years or more. Now, I know there are a lot of you who don't go back that far, but I know there are some here who do. But how have we lived? Have we not walked out of that worship asking God to bless us in our materialistic interests of our day? If you come to this point, you ought to say, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. I have not a pure heart. I have trouble for a few seconds, much less a life of a pure heart and hands without stain. There was a lady who attended our worship in Phoenix, a lady of the street, not how you might think of that, but a lady who had nowhere else to live. And finally, the county found a place for her, and they put her in this home, and she would come to church every weekend. She got there, she arrived before she arrived, and she left long after she left, which means she left an unpleasant odor and sometimes a little puddle. And one day we were having a Bible study. She was sitting in the circle there. And as we went through the Bible study, she began to laugh. And she wasn't accustomed to doing this in our Bible studies. And I said, Annette, what's the so funny? She says, well, Paul, I want to go to heaven, but I just found out I can't. That's the way you ought to feel right now. Now, the rest of that story is I went on and talked about how God took our sin, and there was an empty chair beside me, and I kept gesturing like this about taking our sin and putting him on Christ and putting ourselves and putting on Christ. And I said, now, Annette, if you're trusting in Jesus, where is your sin? Well, it's sitting on the chair over there beside you. And I thought, she understands in a very simple way. But she also understood something about the grip of the gall of the gospel, the call of God to a righteous and holy life, to be pure in heart. That was hard. And she understood she was not there. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, this psalmist goes on in Psalm 24. He says he will receive the blessing from the Lord. And what is the blessing that this one receives? Well, if you notice in verse 5 of our text, Psalm 24, he says, the righteousness from the God of his salvation. He received a righteousness where he would have passed the probation. And he would enter into that state of righteousness that Adam was to have passed on into had he had a pure heart and clean hands. But he didn't enter in. You have this single person, the man who is able to enter into the hill of God. One person in history. And he received righteousness from the Lord because of his obedience. And then in verse 6, you have an interesting switch. You go from the singular to the plural. Such is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face. A generation, a group of people, many people who would seek God. And they would receive that righteousness. Well, how are they going to receive that righteousness if they've been unrighteous? How are they going to have a clean heart, a pure heart? He gives us a hint here. Who seek your face, even Jacob. Let's go back and talk about the story of Jacob. You remember Jacob? Jacob had cheated his brother Esau. His brother Esau had said, I'll kill you when our dad dies. But you can be sure of that. And Jacob was fearful for his life. So he decided, with his mother's help, to go to his uncle Laban's. And just before he left, God gave him a dream. And on that dream, there was a ladder that led up to heaven. And the angels came down from heaven and they returned to heaven, reminding Jacob that it is not Esau in whose hand you are, but it is me, and I will bless you and care for you. Well, Jacob reminds you of that man who said, help me in my unbelief. He says, I believe you, God, but I'm still going to go. I'll bring my tithe back to you, which means I'm committed to you, but I really don't believe you can save me from Esau. And so I'm going to go, but you bring me back. That's not what you call a pure heart. And so he left. He spent his 20 years in Haran, and he came back. He was coming back to the house of God. If you remember, as you read through the book of Genesis, it says that God appeared to Abraham out in Ur of the Chaldees. He appeared to He just spoke to him, gave him a vision. When it was Egypt, he spoke to him. But when he was in the promised land, he met with him within the boundaries of the promised land. This was the house of God. And Jacob had said, I don't believe that you can protect me. And so I'm leaving the house of God. That's not a pure heart. And that night, while he was thinking about Esau, his real problem showed up. He had set the three camps, and then he was ready to cross over the river, and the keeper of the house met him there. You can't come in. You can't come in the righteousness that you have maintained. And he wrestled with this man all night. Let me go in. You might imagine the bouncer keeping him out. But I must come in. No, you can't come in. Your problem is not Esau. Your problem is the God who lives here. He wrestled all night. And finally in the morning, he said, don't let me go. I'm not leaving unless you bless me. What was the blessing he needed? He said, I have seen God and I have lived. God had given him the blessing of an imputed, pure heart so that he could see God. It was no work in himself. He did not have a pure heart, but he got to see God. Now, maybe you this evening are looking at your own heart and you say, I don't have a pure heart. Who is the man who will ascend into the hill of God? A man whose hands are clean, whose heart is pure, who swears not to vanity nor lifts up his soul to vanity. I can't go in. But yet God for Jacob made the way. The way of imputation, the imputation of the righteousness that had been given to this righteous man. He took and he imputed that to Jacob so that Jacob could see God. We have other terms for seeing God. I want to go to heaven. Well, however you define it, you can't see God. You can't enter into that estate. You can't enter into the house. You can't enter the land without a pure heart. Only those of pure heart can see God. But you know that you've already messed it up. You have not had a pure heart. And so you must look to that one who goes in ahead of us. That man who enters the hill of God. Who because of his righteousness was given righteousness that he gives to all those who call on him. And so this evening, maybe it's the time for you to call on him. Some of you students beginning a new year. Some of you may be away from home for the first time. Thinking of all the fun that you're going to have. Instead of thinking of the call. The call that is on you to serve the living God. Even right now. And he calls you to a pure heart. And he said, blessed, happy, delightful are those who have a pure heart. For they shall see God. Jesus, of course, is that one who has entered the hill ahead of you. You are living in his house by his grace and by his righteousness. So that when they say, lift up the gates, lift up the heads, the end of that psalm, that the king may enter in and you come with him. Are you ready? Ready to enter the house of God? Are you clothed in the righteousness of Jesus? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. Father in heaven, let us who have not a pure heart receive the righteousness that you gave to Jesus because of his obedience and his faithfulness. And in his righteousness, let us enter in. And even as we would daily come before him in our devotions, that we may see God. Because we come to him in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Oh, make us those happy people. Make us those blessed people. Send your spirit into our hearts. That we may confess our sin of the impurity of our hearts. And that we may see God clothed in the righteousness, the perfect righteousness of Jesus. Who is the great King of glory. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.